we go.
Here we go.
Let's not start that.
Yeah, let's not start it with that. Oops, there's no intro.
Well, Jack O'Brien's going to say that tonight.
Oh, well, here we go. They're playing basketball. Welcome to the Tool Shed. Nick Hedrick here today, joined by Ethan Morrison and Tyler Gallo, two new members of the Tool Shed. I don't even know if it's fair to call myself an old member, considering I was on like five episodes. But you know what? I'm the elder statesman of the Tool Shed. I lend out the tools. I rent them out. They have my name on them. Right now, the equivalent of what they're doing is renting my lawnmower and not giving it back. Just kidding. Guys, how are we doing today? Very big show, first of the semester. And business is about to pick up here, to quote legendary WWE announcer Jim Ross.
That's right. I'm good, you know, and it's nice to get the Tool Shed back up and running. Even though I wasn't on it before, it's nice to bring it back because I feel like it's one of the more popular sports podcasts here.
It sure is. And Ethan, how is life? The freshman,
yeah.
Ethan.
I've been covering this team. I mean, I've been watching this team for the past like 3 years. So I'm actually like very excited to talk some hoops on the podcast.
Yeah. My man, Gallo, rising to the basketball ranks, getting off the hashtag ice, getting ready to go to the hashtag hardwood.
You know Larry Snyder will listen to this one.
I love Larry Snyder.
He's the GOAT.
His Twitter's so much fun. Anyway, we're back. We're very happy to be here joining all of you. Hopefully you're enjoying listening to our beautiful voices in your ears. Thank you once again for checking us out. And you can always tune in to Colonial Sports Network for more. Well, that's colonialsportsnetwork.com for those of you who might just be stumbling upon this. For more student-run sports news here at Robert Morris University. And speaking of the news, there was a lot of off-season news for this Colonials team, starting with the big move to the Horizon League. Obviously, this has been known for some time, so we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. But let's just go around the table and get each other's thoughts on the move to the Horizon League. We'll start with Ethan and then work its way back to me.
Yeah, I mean, I was very happy with the move. I mean, they just opened a new building, the UPMC Event Center, last season. And then along with them going on to win the NEC championship game and moving on to March Madness, you could kind of see like the turning of the tides with Mary Mac joining the Northeast Conference last season and all of that, getting with that odd number of team. You could kind of see Robert Morris starting to move up the ranks and potentially moving out of the Northeast Conference. And yeah, we saw it in June, the team just moving up in the new conference with the Horizon League should be a great challenge for them.
I think it was sort of just a culmination of the process over the last couple of years. Actually, you know, I don't mean to keep plugging this interview, but I spoke to assistant coach Mike Izzolino a couple weeks ago, and he said that it was just sort of pretty much the perfect storm of things happened because he was a part of that rebuilding process since about 2015, and it sort of built up to that moment. They played incredibly well, sort of fueled by the crowd, and then, you know, I think the Horizon League is a really good fit for this team, especially because there's a lot of better competition. It's not the NEC anymore. They knew exactly what they were going to get every single game in the NEC, but now you got new teams to play against.
I completely agree. A lot of people are calling it a lateral move. I don't think it's a lateral move. The NEC is the worst. Well, I don't want to say the worst because that sounds very demoralizing to the NEC. But, I mean, it's the smallest conference in D1 sports. You know, this was a team Robert Morris punched their ticket, but they were expected to get to a play-in game. They weren't even going to get a bid really straight into the actual tournament. The play-in games don't count as real tournament games. Let's settle down. Let's drop that notion right
now. Well, yeah, and with the Horizon League, I think they can, like, sort of get a 14 or 15
yeah,
seed around that.
The Horizon League, you're not playing Duke, you're not playing North Carolina, you're not playing, you know, Florida with Billy Donovan back with Joakim Noah. But, I mean, look at teams. Like, you got teams like Butler, who's no longer in the Horizon League, but when they made that run against Duke, they were in the Horizon League. I mean, this is a respected conference. There's a lot of teams in this conference. It's going to be some dogfights. And I think it's going to be really cool to see them playing in a new conference, maybe getting new levels of respect.
Right, putting the team on the map.
And, you know, they've had respect before, the big games against Villanova, big win against Kentucky almost a decade ago. But it's a program that has made some noise nationally a couple times for playing these teams well. And they have the right coach, which we'll get into a little bit later. And I think that it's just a perfect time, a perfect opportunity coming off an NEC tournament win to maybe make that move. And not a huge jump, but definitely a little bit of a leap there.
Well, yeah, and like it's not going to be – I don't think the travel is going to be as extreme as it was in the NEC because they have to – I mean, especially this upcoming season because there's not as many games. But also, I mean – you're going to be staying in the same geographical location as opposed to going to Emmitsburg, Maryland, then back up to Loretto, then to Pittsburgh, and then all the way to New York. So it's a good fit, and I think they're going to slot right into this league.
Yeah, travel's definitely down. And like also, Robert Morris has played, Youngstown State last year. They've had a series with them leading up to their move into the Horizon League. They've played Oakland before. They played USC last year as well. Oh, yeah, Oakland did get shut down the past week.
Crazy.
Yeah, but also like UIC, Cleveland State. So they're kind of familiar with a lot of these teams. And then moving on with like Wright State and Northern Kentucky, I think they're going to have some very good matchups with them coming into the season. So I think it's a really good fit for them. A step up in competition like both of you guys said. But, yeah, overall, a very, very good move.
I agree. And another good move is that there will be an extra year of eligibility.
It's huge.
This is going to be very big going forward. What do we make of this? Again, news that's been known for a while. We don't know what's all going to happen, especially transfers and stuff. People commonly use their extra year of eligibility maybe elsewhere if they get an extra year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a great opportunity given the circumstances.
And I think it's sort of a shame that it wasn't agreed upon earlier. So, like, maybe the seniors that they had last year could have had another chance at that big tournament and, of course, getting a chance to play against the Horizon League competition. But we'll touch on it a little bit later. Like we said, there's a lot of freshmen coming in that are big, big ones to watch. But I think this team is going to benefit from the extra year of eligibility.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't have come at a better time for the Colonials as, I mean, they just won the conference championship in the Northeast Conference and moving into this new conference. You have guys like John Williams, AJ Brahma, who are seniors this year, who are one of the better players on this team, the senior leadership. So gaining an extra year of eligibility can only help this team kind of grow and get those incoming freshmen involved.
I agree completely. And we're going to, like I said, burn right through that. We've known that. It's obviously nothing but good things, getting an extra year of eligibility for some of your guys. Someone else who has a lot more eligibility is Andy Toole, signed through the 2025-2026 season, and maybe COVID will all be over by that point. I mean, this is a great move, such a great coach. There's always rumors swirling of him going somewhere bigger.
Like Penn State.
But you guys talked to him at practice, and I think Ethan asked him the question. So what did he say wanted to keep him around here?
I mean, I think just like the chemistry that he has with all of his coaches and then the players and like the city
the
in
culture
general
too.
has really like kept them, I guess, I don't know. I can't even express.
It's sort of. Yeah. I guess the school itself has sort of embraced him as the guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the. I don't have any problem saying that he's probably one of the top. He probably is the top coach at RMU, in terms of just the way he's able to control his team. I mean, RMU's going to put up a fight every single time they're out there. Granted, they're going to play tough teams. They'll schedule tough non-conference games like they often do, but Andy Toole has found a way to just connect with his players that I don't think any other coach has been able to.
I think that the money they've put into the program with the new arena and stuff, I mean, how can he not think that this school is going to build around him and give him and his players an opportunity to succeed? Great signing on there. That's a burp. Great signing on their end to keep Andy Toole around. Great coach. Very intense coach. And given the way he deals with people transferring and stuff all the time, kudos to him for always making sure competitive. So now we'll preview the roster, as it says under the preview roster tab that you folks at home can't see. Goodbye, seniors, and hello, freshmen. Ethan, tell us about the seniors we're saying goodbye to and the freshmen we're welcoming into the program.
Yeah, Josh Williams is one of the seniors that was the leading scorer on this team last season. Was a very key piece in that Northeast Conference championship
very
run.
Very underrated leading scorer, in my opinion. He's a guy that gets lost. He got lost in the shuffle a little bit, but was still chugging along with pretty much every game. So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, also, I mean, I guess we could call this guy the spark plug, especially in the tournament. Savion McEwen, he is gone as well. Another big loss is he was a bench player, but he was definitely a key factor in a lot of those games last season, a lot of those close games.
Yeah, he was a guy that I think was, like you said, the spark plug, the lightning rod that really fueled the lifeblood of this team. I guess, you know, he wasn't the guy that would light up the score sheet every night, but he'd go out there, he'd put in the work, and he'd pump up the crowd a little bit too, as well, with the guy that was pretty excited out there. So he's going to be a tough loss, but they'll definitely be able to figure out how to replace him.
Yeah, I mean, so moving on from the seniors, let's talk about the incoming freshman class here. Enoch Cheeks from Rhode Island.
What a name.
He's been talked about thoroughly. I mean, he got offers from a couple A-10 schools, I believe. So I think he might be a guy that might get immediate impact in that lineup.
Yeah, he's a guy that we went to practice, and he was looking really good out there. I mean, he's a guy that's not as big as some of the other guys are, but he looked like a sharpshooter out there, and I think he's going to be huge for this team. And another one I want to touch on is Cam Ferris. Very, very big guy that could probably slot right into the top five immediately. So there's a lot of really good freshmen, and I think a sleeper freshman, in my opinion, is Pat Sumnick, who's a guy that really sort of hasn't been talked about a lot. He's a guy that's pretty big. I mean, we saw him out there working on his game, and he just He looks good. He looks good to start off.
Yeah, and I mean, he was the last player that got a scholarship on this roster. So I mean, he's kind of overlooked. Yeah. So yeah, I think he could honestly make immediate impact in this lineup. I mean, the depth at the forward position is you got a lot with Alicia Nagati, and as well as AJ Brahma. But I mean, he could be a nice bench option for Robert Morris coming into this year.
I agree. I was going to talk about someone, but I think we're going to talk about them a little later. Someone who's not a freshman that's joining the program, but a pretty big class, given that they only lost two people. I think it's, what, five freshmen?
Yeah.
Five or six.
I mean, good class coming in, maybe anticipating some people jumping around. Last year we saw DJ Russell leave, and this man, Jalen Hawkins, leaving in between the offseason.
It was sort of puzzling to me why he
was a surprising move.
Hawkins averaged 20 minutes a game. Only played behind, you know, pretty mainstay guys, you know, John Williams, Charles Bain, Giannis Mendy, Dante Tracy, AJ Brahma, Josh Williams. I mean, those are all guys that have been to the dance before. Jalen Hawkins was new to the team last year. I don't understand the move. Can't remember off the top of my head where he went.
Norfolk State.
Now I do. I would have, if I put like two more seconds of thought in it, I would remember.
But
I mean, he averaged 7 points a game. I mean, he was getting respectable time, and I'm sure they were going to build up to him. Maybe that, yeah, or he saw the freshman class was big and said, oh.
Well, and especially with the loss of the seniors as well, with Josh Williams, I think his playing time was only going to go up. And it's just, I don't know, maybe he wanted to be, you know, more relied upon. I mean, you mentioned Giannis Mendy, by the way. He signed in France. That one is old news at this point as well. But it was puzzling. It was puzzling at the beginning of the year to see why this guy who didn't really get a lot of playing time but also was about to on the cusp of get playing time, it was just weird.
I mean, yeah, he didn't get a lot of playing time. He wasn't a starter. He wasn't on the starting five at all this season. He came off the bench all of the games that he played in. But, I mean, he was respected when he was on the court. He was able to knock down shots. He was a really good player, and I'm really surprised that he left.
I agree. Jalen Hawkins is fun for me to watch. I've always consider him as an underrated guy who is ready to make a jump in the next season, and he sure jumped all right, just not anywhere or maybe he jumped to Norfolk State. Waiver watch, Khalil Spear.
We've been talking about
he's
it.
He's on the roster.
Almost ad nauseum.
He's on the roster, so is it cleared? Who knows?
At this point, we sort of just have to wait for Jeff Goodman or John Rothstein to drop the bomb because according to an insider source that Ethan has, he says that there is one in place. They haven't got it yet, and he's still working on it. He's not practicing in full yet, I don't think, but he's been, like, working with the team and, like, conditioning drills and stuff. He's trying to get to that, I think it's like a 6:30 mile or something, to be able to practice fully with the team. But he's a guy that could transfer from Bucknell, a guy that could step right into the offense and be a huge boost.
Not only his offense, but also his defense. He led, I think, Bucknell with 26 blocks last season. So, I mean, if he gets this waiver, that's an immediate boost to this lineup that's already looking to finish in that top half of the Horizon League.
And boy, is Ethan going to pounce on that article when it comes out. I just think that he's got like a bison. No, not
a
really.
Bison.
A bison.
Bucknell?
The Bucknell bison. Yeah, but like I said, Bucknell is...
all three of us immediately said, wait a minute.
Like, Bucknell is definitely a step up a little bit from RMU in terms of, like, competition they play against, but going from a team where you didn't play that much, but you're still a good player, and going down to the team where you can be relied upon more heavily, I think it could only benefit RMU if his waiver gets approved. And we're just waiting for it to happen. They got a couple weeks left, but we're waiting for it to happen.
Hopefully.
I agree. And now let's talk about some potential sleepers, guys that are going to have the most success on the team. I'm going to start off with Dante Tracy, who had the big game in the NEC Championship. No one really called him a sleeper. I think he's going to finally really take the reins now and show that he's a star of this team.
Yeah, he can really explode, especially with being more relied upon. I mean, we just saw how slicing and dicing he was in that championship game. I mean, he was finding the open guys. He was hitting the shots. He was getting in there, and he won the MVP to boot.
Yeah, I mean, taking a look at his freshman year in terms of and then going into his sophomore year was a complete boost and a complete jump to where he was back when he played in the 2018-2019 season. He had his breakout game in the championship game, so I think just building off of that, he could be a really solid player in this rotation.
What a better time to do it than there. And, of course, he was buried a bit behind Matty McConnell when he first got here, so he couldn't really take off per se. But last year he had the chance to play more, and he got that, and we saw it in the championship game.
I agree.
I'm glad you agree, Nick.
Duty called really quick.
It's okay. It's okay.
We're recording this on the night of a charity event, so there's a few people texting me and stuff. But anyway, freshman that will make the most immediate impact on the team. Well, I think I'm going to roll with Tyson Brown. 6'9", freshman at a Proctor Academy.
He's another guy that was that wasn't practicing with the team when we went because they're once again trying to do the conditioning thing. But yes, I agree. I agree completely with that.
If he plays and there's no redshirting or whatever, obviously. Yeah, right. We don't know much about that right now. But a 6'9" guy in the Horizon League,
yeah,
in the NEC, I mean, you know, that's a very tall fella. So
in the Horizon League, I mean, sort of a little bit less. I mean, of course, Loudon Love is what 7'1", so I mean. He's pretty much
any height depth you can add in these smaller conferences. I mean, that's good to have. So Tyson Brown, AJ Brahma in foul trouble. We'll see. Especially, given that height is something the team kind
of
lacks in.
I feel like the past couple of years they really haven't had like a true guy with some height, and that's really shown when they played those like tougher non-conference games. I mean, it wasn't much of a factor in NEC play, but it's never hurts to get a guy with size.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with
they have a couple like other guys too, but I don't know. Something about this guy just makes me really like him, this Tyson Brown.
I think I'm going to roll with Cam Ferris. I think he's a 3-star recruit, correct? And
yeah,
he's
yeah.
That's a big get, obviously, you know. RMU has lost players of that caliber, mm-hmm. Kobe Thomas, we're calling it, which was a huge loss and probably would have only benefited them last season. But I can only see Cam Ferris pretty much slotting right onto this roster pretty much immediately.
Yeah, I mean, going with Cam Ferris here, he practiced with the team halfway through this. He started in January practicing with the team, and he's been with the team ever since. So I think even that will give him a boost on those other freshmen as well that could slot him as a good bench guy off the bench. I mean, you have Dante Tracy, John Williams, all of those guys still in that starting five, but you know he could be a big bench guy.
And honestly, you know, having that benefit of just practicing with the team since January and getting to know the rotations, getting to know the drills, getting to know all that stuff and the coaches, I just think there's really – that's phenomenal for a player, especially as a freshman, to get to know the team well and then you're finally meshing with the guys that you like to play. So that's going to be huge for him.
Well, who are they playing? Let's talk about that right now. Game by game. Game by game. Here we go. Point Park is game number one. That's a win.
That's pretty much a win.
Hands down.
That's a win in my book. Now
they've never played them.
Right into the thick of it on November 28th, they'll be at Central Michigan.
That's a good game. That's a good game for them. That's not a tester. That's not a level of a couple of other games they'll play, but I think this is a game that, you know, if they play well, they could sneak away with the win. But obviously Central Michigan is the more superior team, so I think for the realistic standpoint, I think that one's a loss right
Keep
there.
Keep in mind, they beat Central Michigan last year and beat it by 4 points.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, they also played the team they'll play next, Florida Gulf Coast, last year as well.
Dunk City! Love Dunk City. Oh, they're far from that now. But I think that's a win. Honestly, I think that's a win for them. The team, Florida Gulf Coast, you know, is far from that 15 seed that went to the Sweet 16. But I think this is going to be a very competitive game like it was last year.
Yeah, just like last year. I mean, the team for Robert Morris is kind of similar. But, I mean, yeah, I think it's going to be a close game. I still think they come out with a win, though.
St. Francis, you in the rematch to the Stars of the last NEC game the Colonials will play. They're at Loretto, the 6th best college basketball town, apparently. But the crowd probably won't be there. I'm going to say the Colonials say no flukes here. We'll beat you with a big crowd in our favor, and we'll beat you without a crowd.
Yeah, I can't see them, especially. They'll be rejuvenated with the move to the new league and saying that, you know, St. Francis sort of just fell flat in that final game. But I think the momentum is still there, and they will just remember that and go out there with a win.
Yeah, not only that, St. Francis lost Keith Braxton and Isaiah Blackman.
Huge.
Two of their top players in program history, so that's a huge loss for them. They don't really have anyone that I know of.
Mark Flagg!
Mark Flagg. Yeah, sure. But
it's like 7-8.
Yeah, I feel like Robert Morris will go into Loretto, say, this is why we left the Northeast and we're in the Horizon League now. We're the bigger guys.
Them's fighting words.
We're the bigger guys now. So we're going to take this game and go and,
West Virginia, December 9th. That's also on the road. This is going to be the first guaranteed loss I'll give them. I give them a 4-1 start through their first five games.
Yeah, and I mean, like in the past, though, the team has started slow. But I think this is they're going to be rejuvenated by the move to the new conference, and they're going to be able to capitalize on some early games.
I mean, I've always said Robert Morris is – Andy Toole's teams have always been able to play these big teams close. I mean, they played Marquette very close last season, only lost by four. And, I mean, they've played games in the past where they've kept Louisville close, they've kept Pitt close. So I really think – briefly. But I feel like this is going to be a very competitive game for both teams. But I still think West Virginia's got this game.
Then we move to the double headers. The double header. Cleveland State takes on RMU.
I can see them splitting this one, this first one. They always get off to a slow start in the conference. And I think that Cleveland State, they're going to still have, I mean, like I said, yeah, they're going to be rejuvenated by the new conference move. And maybe that's going to last a couple of the non-conference games. But once you get into conference, they're going to have to shake the rust off anyways.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I have to agree with you. They're probably going to split, just getting into a new conference, getting their feet set and everything. Might take them a couple games to start hitting their stride.
I agree. I'm going to say they lose both. They lost to them last year. I think they'll – that's wrong. That's cool. Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Oh, nope, I just messed that up completely. Never mind. I thought the Cleveland State games are listed as road games in my article, but they're home. Purdue Fort Wayne is next. They'll be on the road for those ones.
Honestly, that's two wins. Purdue Fort Wayne just is not up to the snuff of the teams that are in the top of the conference, and who knows, maybe PFW will sneak out with a win in that one, but I just think that's a sweep.
Yeah, Army will sweep Purdue Fort Wayne, another newbie in the conference. They were also added this year along with Robert Morris. But yeah, I mean, I feel like RMU's on another level, and they'll be able to take these two in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I agree. That moves us on to Milwaukee.
That's literally probably either, again, another split or another two wins, because Milwaukee was ranked pretty low in the poll. So I don't see why they don't win this game, these two games. But that's a fun trip to go on.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they can keep that momentum up after Purdue Fort Wayne after those two games. And yeah, hopefully they can pull out two. I mean, I could see them definitely splitting it. I don't see in my mind them losing two against Milwaukee.
Yeah.
That takes us to another big matchup, this time with IUPUI.
Indiana That's University, a lot of letters. Purdue University, Indianapolis. That one's a definite split or 0-2 for me. The IUPUI is a pretty good team, and I think, yeah, I just think that RMU is not going to be able to really just keep up with them a little bit because they're a good team.
Yeah, I think they'll split, especially on the road. Yeah, they'll split.
I agree. I see a good split there, a nice banana split. That's going to take us to UIC, which I'll start with a split. A lot of splitting.
They'll sweep. They'll go 2-0 in Chicago.
I think they split.
Because, I mean, last year, they didn't – it was still early in non-conference play, but when they played them last year, they led at the half. So if they could just finish out that game, they would have had a win in non-conference. So I think if they play a full 40 minutes, they'll be able to sweep.
They'll split.
Keep your eyes on this series for potential CSN coverage. We've been eyeing this one up. If we can go, I would love to go to Chicago and, you know, get some more tool shed content there. But honestly, though, I agree with the split there or the 2-0, because this is a team that they played last season, and this is a team that they played with last season. They got they were close early, faded late, as often did in the early goings. So if they can avoid that in these two games, they could win.
That brings us to the Northern Kentucky matchups, the big dogs.
This is one I can probably...
Some of the big dogs, I think they go 0-2.
Yeah, 0-2 against...
You know what? I'll say split. They're playing at home.
Wright State on the road, 0-2.
I could go with the split in this one.
I got a meaty 0-2.
Yeah, I could either... It's hard for me to justify giving them two wins in this one at all. Wright State is the cream of the crop in this conference, and they're going to have to lock down Loudon Love. Or if Loudon Love gets injured and they're playing them, that's two wins for RMU, because Loudon Love, pretty much that's where the conference runs through, or the team runs through.
They'll split.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Bold choice from Senor Morrison.
The split man.
The split.
I'm going to go with a sweep in their next series against Youngstown State, though. We're going to get aggressive.
Oh, I say splitting. There's a lot of splitting because you
think it's their weekend.
It's their weekend?
I think it's RMU's weekend at home.
Yeah, you know, you really can go either way with a lot of these picks, but Youngstown State is a team they're no stranger to. So, split city. Call them Split City.
Yeah, I'll also say they'll split this series.
Wow. I'm going to go and say they take on Oakland in a sweep after that as well.
Yeah. If Oakland is playing this year, that's still up in the air right now after they had that COVID positive test. And
that'll be fine.
I think they'll be fine by whenever the team plays them. But, yeah.
I think they sweep them at home. Oakland's like that middle of the pack team where I think at this point Robert Morris is going to hit their stride and just sweep Oakland.
They close it out with Detroit Mercy.
That's a sweep, too.
That's a sweep in my book.
Sweep.
Wow.
So, I mean, pretty favorably we're getting the reactions for these two teams or these teams. It's not really a problem for us to be giving them good, because this is a good conference for them to be in, especially because they were ranked fourth in the preseason poll.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these games, they're hard to kind of see, like, where you're going to, you can say they're either going to split or sweep. And playing teams, conference teams back-to-back, you don't really get to see, you really don't get to grow, you're just going one day after the other playing them, so, yeah. And fourth place, that's a pretty good spot for them in the preseason poll.
We're going to talk about some quick key conference matchups really quick. I think it's impossible to overlook the stretch of Northern Kentucky, Wright State, and Youngstown State all in a row. That's where they're going to make or break their season with how they play those teams.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I said in my article, if you haven't checked that out already.
Oh,
I'm going to plug that. I'm sorry. I'm going to plug it. This was the Wright State series was number one because they're going to probably be the top team at this point in the season. And if you go in there and at least split, that's gonna give you a big boost heading into the latter half of the conference schedule.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me play a bit of devil's advocate here. Excuse me. Of the games, the big games that you mentioned.
Talk about the devils.
No, I don't.
Don't get started, Nick.
But
joke.
Of these games that you mentioned, which one do you think upon winning will give them the biggest momentum boost?
Oh, Wright State by far. They're the top team.
Yeah.
Or you could also argue that Youngstown State, they're also supposed to be up there. It's a team where you could say that a rivalry will be born in that series since the geographical location between the two teams, they're like an hour away. And Youngstown State's third, I think, in the preseason poll. So that could be an also game that series could be a momentum boost for them leading into the end of the season.
I agree. Well, boys, we made it. That's the first one.
Yeah, more to come. Yeah.
Any final thoughts before we send the folks home?
I'm just excited.
I am too.
It's been a long time. Had to wait a long time for some more college basketball, but we're slowly inching there. We're like, what, 2 weeks away now till the first game?
Right.
So I'm just very excited to start watching some basketball
again. And there is reason for optimism this season, especially with the move to the conference and the ranking they got pre-conference. So there's a lot of excitement around here. I'm excited to cover this team down in the stretch as they go to these games and hopefully potentially go on a trip to cover these guys. I would be so excited to go cover them at a new arena, go to a new place. Always love going to new places.
Wow. Guy with new places and new faces. This has been the Tool Shed. We'll see you next time. Stay safe and remember to wear protective goggles when doing homework. Thank you. Home repair, excuse me. That would have made more sense. See you later.